The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Shmini. Vayhi b'yom haShmini, korim Moshe l'Aaron v'Levona v'Zikne Yisrael. And it was on the eighth day that Hashem called to Moshe and Aaron and his sons and the Ziknei Yisrael, the elders of Israel. What was the eighth day? Rashi tells us, Shmini Limiluim, Hu Reish Chedesh Nisan, Shehukam HaMishkan Bei B'Yayim. We learned in the past Sedris of the building of the Mishkan of the sanctuary. And this was started to be built on the day after Yom Kippur, after Moshe returned from the mountain of receiving the second tablets. That was in the first year of going out of Mitzrayim, of Egypt. It was completed in Kislev a short time later, which Chof Hei Kislev, the 25th of Kislev, which later was to become Hanukkah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, did not want that it should be erected until Reish Chedesh Nisan. So on Reish Chedesh Nisan is when the Mishkan was erected, and that was the end of Parshas Vayakel Pekudei, at the end of Sefer Shmos. Prior to the final erection of the Mishkan, there were 8 days of celebration, at which time Moshe would put up the Mishkan every day and he would take it down. And these were known as the Shmeini Shemei Miluim, the 8 days of the inauguration of the Mishkan. So Vayhi Bayom HaShmini is the final day when Moshe erected the Mishkan and left it up. And the Shechina came, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, dwelled in the Mishkan, and this was Reish Chedesh Nisan, the first day of Nisan. And this was a very celebrated day, and there was much to be done, and there was much doing, special sacrifices, korbanos, and so forth. A great tragedy took place, however. The Torah tells us a little further in an posuk chof dalet, vateitze esh milifnei Hashem, vateichal ala mizbeach esa ola vesa chalovim. When they brought the sacrifices, a fire came down from heaven and it consumed everything which was on the altar. Vayar kol ha'om vayareinu vayiplu al peneihem. And when all of the nations saw this great miracle, they praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they bowed down. Vayichu v'nei arein nodu v'aviu ish machtosei. Two sons of Aaron. Aaron had four sons. Two of his sons, who were Kahanim, they were priests, Nadav Aviu, they brought out their vessels, which were used for the sacrificing of burning incense. Vayitnu vahen esh, vayusimu aleihem ktoiros. They placed in these vessels fire and incense. Vayakrivu bnei Hashem esh zoro. And they brought before Hashem esh zoro, a strange fire, asher leit tziva esom, which they were not commanded to do. Vateitze esh milivnei Hashem. A fire came out from Hashem, vateichal esom, and it consumed them. Vayamusu lifnei Hashem, and they died before Hashem. Vayemem Moshe l'Aaron, and Moshe said to Aaron, Hu asher diber Hashem lemor. This is what Hashem said, Bikreva yekodesh, that through my close ones I shall be sanctified. Val pnei kol ha'om ekoved, and I will be honored through the nation. Vayidom Aaron, and Aaron was silent. Vayikra Moshe al Mishael ve'al Tzofon b'nei Uziel ded Aaron. And Moshe called to Mishael and El Tzofon. These were uncles of Aaron. These are the sons of uncles of Aaron. They were cousins. Vayima Aleihem, and he said to them, Kirvusu es acheichem eis p'nei hakodesh al michutz l'machane. Go take, carry out your relatives who are dead from these festivities outside of the camp. Vayikru vayisom bikuteinosem al mechutz lamachaneh kasher diber Moshe, and they took them and they carried them out in their garments. Rashi explains here that we see that they were not externally burnt, only internally burnt, and they took them out. Then vayim Moshe al Aaron. Moshe said to Aaron, ulozel isomot bonav, and to his other two sons, the remaining two sons, Elozer and Isomar, that even though they should have been Avelim, mourners, or Einanim, This is someone who is in a state where he is obligated to bury people of his immediate family, but still, since they were Kahanim, they were the Aaron was the Kohen Gadol, and they were Kahanim, they were in the Beis Hamikdash. So he said, "Roshechem al tifro, do not let your hair grow wild. Ubigdechem le sifremu, do not rent your clothing. Veleishamusu but al kolei de yiktzei, because if you do, this will be a terrible thing. Va'achechem kol beis Yisrael yivkos asreifa asher sorof Hashem. You shall not mourn, because you are in the Beis Hamikdash now. But all of the other people of the house of Israel will mourn this great fire. You shall not go out of the gate of the sanctuary. Lest you shall die. Because you are anointed to Hashem." Then the Torah tells us, immediately afterwards, "Vaydaber Hashem el Aaron lemor, yain v'shechar al tesht. You shall not drink wine which is intoxicating. Atov anecho, this is to Aaron, to the Kahanim, to Aaron and his sons, you and your sons. When you come to the Eil Meid, when you come to the sanctuary, to the Mikdush, leishamusu, if you do, you shall be put to death. Chukas elam dederi sechem, this is a law forever. Ulahabdil bein hakodesh ubein hachol, to distinguish between what is sanctified and what is not sanctified, bein hatomei ubein hator, what is impure and what is pure. Ulahayres, and to instruct as bnei Yisrael, kol hachukim asher diber Hashem aleihem, everything which Hashem has commanded." This is the parsha in this particular on this particular subject. This great tragedy which took place, and the two sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, were killed. The Rashi brings a machlekes, a dispute, machlekes tanoim, the rabbis of the Mishnah, as to what was their avera, what was their transgression. Reb Leza says that the reason why they died is because they were heira heilocha. They gave judgment. They rendered decisions of halacha, of law, in the presence of Moshe, their Rebbe, which is a great avera. Rabbi Shmuel says, "Shtuy yain nichnasu l'migdush." They were drunk with wine when they went into the Beis Hamikdash. Teida, a proof to this, she'achav misosin hizer aneisorim shleichnasu shtuy yain l'migdush. A proof to this is because we see immediately afterwards the Torah instructs us with the laws that we should not drink wine when we go into the Beis Hamikdash. It's as if the Medrash tells us, Moshe Lemelech Shoya, it's as if a king is instructing us not to do something which just caused a great tragedy. So we have two reasons here. Now this needs explanation. According to one, the Aveira was that they rendered decision in the presence of their Rebbe, of their teacher. According to the other, the Aveira, the transgression was that they drank wine when they went to serve in the Beis Hamikdash. Now this needs explanation, because firstly, it seems explicit in the Torah that the reason why they were put to death is because they brought a fire which was not commanded. An Eish Zora. It's firstly. Secondly, why do these Tanoim look for other reasons? What do they have to look for other reasons? Why don't they learn simply like the simple text that the reason is because they brought a fire that was not commanded? The Maral in the Gurayi explains. We can learn two ways. You can say that the fire which they brought was not actually a strange fire. It was a proper fire. It was a fire that should have been brought. But according to one opinion, they were not commanded by Moshe to bring the fire. The fire was proper. Moshe was commanded to bring the fire. But on their own they went and brought it without waiting to hear the judgment from Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is Meira Hiro Lifnei Rabbi. This is Paskin and Aloha rendering judgment in the presence of your Rebbe. Therefore, it became an Eish Zora Asher Leitzivo. Therefore, it became a fire which was a strange fire which was not commanded. In other words, basically, it was a fire which was commanded. But they did not wait for the command from Moshe Rabbeinu. They took it upon themselves. They said, since we're supposed to bring such a fire, because we know what to do, so they took it upon themselves. So this is Meir Hirosh Alev Bifnei Rabbi. This is giving out a judgment in the presence, Bifnei Rabbi, in the presence of the Rebbe, which they are not allowed to do. Therefore, the Torah considered it an Eish Zoro, like the Torah says, a strange fire, Asher Leit Siva, a som which they were not commanded. Moshe was commanded, but they were not commanded. They should have waited it for his command. That's one opinion. The second opinion is that also it was a proper fire, but they were nichnas lemigdish to iyain, they came into the base of migdish after they had drank wine, and therefore it's mechalal aveda. Later on, Rashi brings the Gemara in Zvochim. The Gemara says that what happens if a kohen does drink wine and he goes into a base of migdish and he brings a sacrifice? So since the Torah says Elahavdil ben HaKodesh ben HaChol, to distinguish between what is sanctified and what is not sanctified, from there we learn that if he does bring a sacrifice under such circumstance, it's not a good sacrifice. It's rejected. And it's not a good sacrifice. So, since they came into the base of English to Yayin, having drunk wine, therefore their Aveda, their service in the Beis HaMikdash, was Mechuleles. It became rejected. If it was rejected, so now it was an Eish Zora Asher Leitziva Eson. It was a strange fire that they were not commanded. So one way we could understand this is that the fire basically was a fire which was commanded. It was a proper fire. But because under the various circumstances which they brought it, it became a fire which was not commanded. But the basic Aveira, the transgression, was not bringing a strange fire. Was either giving the judgment without waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu, or having drunk wine. And therefore it became a fire which was not commanded. That's one way we can learn. There's another way we can understand this also. We can say that it was basically a strange fire. Kipshutei, like the simple text, that they brought a fire which was not commanded. But still, these Tanoim, the rabbis of the Mishnah, are seeking other reasons also. Because they feel that bringing merely a fire which was not commanded would not warrant such a reaction, which we'll explain in a minute. So therefore they're seeking other reasons also. So therefore one says that he was, in addition to that, they were made a hero bifnei rabbi, they rendered judgment in the presence of their Rebbe. And another says it was shtu yayin. They had drunk wine. Now what? What is better? Now that we say there were other avedas, why couldn't we learn that there was the simple aveda that they were bringing a strange fire? Because bringing a strange fire, the punishment for such a thing in the sanctuary would be misa bidei shamayim, death by heaven. Generally, we do not find that death by heaven comes immediately. Generally, when a person, heaven forbid, should be guilty of death by heaven, Kodesh Baruch Hu waits. He waits a long time before he brings the punishment upon the person. Maybe the person will do tshuva, he'll do repentance. Erech Apayim, Kodesh Baruch Hu waits. He's patient. So we don't find generally that the punishment of Misa Bidei Shamayim, the capital punishment which a person might be due from heaven, comes immediately. Here we see him immediately. The minute they did this, it came immediately. So therefore, these rabbis, The Tanoim felt that it could not be merely for the Aveira of bringing a strange fire, because even though one would be guilty of death by heaven, but it would not come immediately, like we see here. So there must have been some other Aveira involved. So therefore, one tells us it was Meira Hiroshalei Bifnei Rabbi, rendering judgment in the presence of one's Rebbe, and the other Shtuyayin, where he came into the Mikdush drunk with wine. Why is that better? Those Aveiras, we do find, can bring an immediate death. The Gemara tells us, the Gemara in Masechta Zvochim, and the Gemara in Masechta Krisus, that Hameira Heiro Bifnei Rabbi is Chai Bisa B'dei Shemaim. That someone who renders judgment in the presence of his Rebbe is guilty of the death penalty, B'dei Shemaim. Now we'll go into a little more detail in this in a minute. But the Gemara brings a case. Masechta Erevin, where someone did such a thing, and he was told that he wouldn't live out a year. We see it demands an immediate reaction. And what is the reason? The reason is because this is bechlal, this is included in bizoy rabbi, bizoy tamid chachomim. If someone gives judgment in the presence of his rebbe, this is a bizoyin, this is a disgrace, he is not giving proper honor to his Rebbe. And to disgrace one's Rebbe, the Torah considers a very serious Aveira. And in addition, it's done because the person is impatient, doesn't want to wait to hear what his Rebbe says. Someone asks a question. Now we're speaking here in Halacha. Someone asks a Shaila, a question in Halacha, and the Rebbe is present, and he doesn't want to wait to hear what his Rebbe paskins, what judgment his Rebbe will give. So therefore he is kefetz, he jumps forwards impatiently to render his own judgment. So just like he jumps forward without any restraint and without any self-control and patience, and through this he's mevaze the Torah, he brings bizayin, he brings disgrace to the Torah and to his rabbi, so is the midah keneged midah, so is the reaction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you cannot then therefore demand erech hapayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have restraint. This whole Aveira, the basis of this Aveira, this transgression, was because he was without restraint. So how can he ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu restraint? Therefore it warrants an immediate reaction. And this is what we see here. That's why Reb Lezer wanted to learn, rather than the Aveira was because of bringing a strange fire, it was because they were made a hero bifnei rabbi, bifnei Meisha Rabbeinu. They had no restraint. They didn't wait to hear what Meisha would say. They went forward on their own. And therefore, midah keneged midah, the reaction, the act warrants a parallel reaction. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu also had no restraint. And therefore a fire came immediately and consumed them. That's according to Reb Lezer. According to Rabbi Shmuel, he says, Shtuyayin nichnosu lemikdush. They came into the Beis HaMikdush drunk. Now why should that warrant such an immediate reaction? Why is that so more serious than bringing a fire which was not commanded? And another question, what's the matter with drinking wine? We find many times it's a mitzvah to drink wine. The Torah in many places praises wine. The answer to this is that there is a time and place for everything. And wine is the hepech. It's just contrary to the Beis HaMikdush. Why? If you recall, we gave recently a shiur in Parshas Vayikra on korbonis, on sacrifices. And there we went into great length elaborating on a few principles. One principle is that the whole concept of Beis HaMikdush and of korbonis, of sacrifices, teaches us
that a person can take something from this world and elevate it to a higher sphere, to a higher world. Everything in the Beis Hamikdash was made from a physical substance. All sacrifices come from a very simple physical substance. It either comes from an animal or from some wheat and so forth. And a person has a power to take this and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with it, to elevate it to the highest spheres of Kedusha. In other words, transforming the physical energy into a spiritual energy. This was the serving of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash. The Haloh, the Is'alus, the Kedusha, the elevation, sanctification of the Gashmiya, sanctification of the physical world. Not divorcing oneself from the physical world, but rather uplifting the physical world to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This we elaborated at great length. So this means that the Makom HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, is a place of physical elevation to the point where a person gains great ruchnias, great spirituality there. Being drunk with wine is just the opposite. When a person drinks wine, what happens? Seichel esor mimenu. His mind, his intelligence becomes distorted. If his intelligence is becoming distorted, then he's becoming like a man without das, without intelligence. A man without intelligence is almost completely physical. You have, lahavdil, you have an animal, a behema. What's the difference between the behema and the odom? The behema is made from the physical essence, substance, and so is a person. The answer is that the person was given a gigantic intellect and a gigantic intelligence, which through this uplifts the person. Now, just like it states that when a person sleeps, then the Gemara says that sleep is 1/60. A person can be tame. He can taste 1/60 of misa of death by sleeping. Gemara relates that Dovra Melech, King David, never liked to sleep long periods of time, because he didn't want to come that close to death. So he's sleeping, he always divided in very short periods. Sleep is a degree of a misa of a death. Why? Because when the person sleeps, so the body is still, everything slows down, and his intelligence leaves him. This is why the rabbis teach us why a person dreams when he sleeps, and usually a dream, the Gemara says, is not a dream that doesn't have shtuyes, that doesn't have some type of distortion of intelligence in it. Because since the seichel, the intelligence, is at a low point, so is misgaber adimyon, so therefore the imagination with distortion and everything else cannot overcome a person. So the same thing now, when a person drinks, so it affects his mind, affects his intelligence. So everything becomes distorted. He starts seeing things that might not be there. He might think things that aren't there. His imagination becomes stronger. So now he's the Odom Agashmi. Now he's the physical man. Being the physical man, this is just a contrary to the Beis HaMikdash. Because the Beis HaMikdash was the place where the Kahanim would come to be uplifted spiritually. Fact is, we mentioned that the Kohen Gadol, Aaron HaKohen, was given 8 garments, Shmeinu Begodim. What was the significance of 8? Because it's something that's a sphere which is higher than this world. This world was created in 6 days. And then it was given Shabbos. So 6 days, that's the Shesh Shemei Malocha. These are the 6 days in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, did work to create the world. And therefore we find that basically the world has 6 degrees in it. It's also brought, the Maral explains, that's why we find that you won't find anything in this world with more than 6 physical dimensions. The greatest dimensions you can bring together will be six of a cube, a length, a width, and so forth. But you cannot create more than six perfect dimensions. And then there's Shabbos, which gave it a higher degree of kishur, a higher sanctity. But beyond that, that's not this world. When Aaron became the Kohen Gadol, and it was his task to go into the Beis HaMikdash and even into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the most holy of the holies, and there only was the Sefer Torah and the Aron HaKodesh and the tablets. So that was a degree, that was a level beyond this world. And therefore he was given Shmeinu Begodi, made garments. So we see that the Beis HaMikdash was a place for a person to rise up above the physical world. Therefore it cannot be sevil, it cannot tolerate something which is too physical. Everything that comes into the Beis HaMikdash must go upward, must rise upward. Just like we see all of the sacrifices. Eile reach nicheach l'Hashem. They were burnt on the Mizbeach, on the altar, and they went up to Hashem. See, everything must rise up. And someone who is drunk with wine, the Beis HaMikdash cannot tolerate this, rejects it completely. See? So therefore this Aveira warranted an immediate reaction. So that's the explanation of that they brought a strange fire to Hashem. Whether actually it was a strange fire or if it was actually not a strange fire, this you can learn either way. But that was not the basic Aveda which brought the punishment upon them. It was either because they were not commanded for Mesha and they took it upon themselves, or it was because they were shtuiyai and they were drunk with wine, like we see immediately after that the Torah tells us about the Kahanim should not go into the Beis HaMikdash being drunk with wine. Let's just spend a few minutes going into some of these, a few details of these halachos. Firstly, that what we said, that a person is not allowed to give judgment in the presence of his Rebbe. The Rambam brings this in Hilchos Talmud Torah. In Perek Hey, where he writes that a person call kishem shod metzuve bechvei rovi v'yirosei kachuchai bechvei rabbi v'yirosei yesem yovi, that a person is obligated to give honor to his rabbi, and this is a kal v'chemer. We learn this out from the fact that you're obligated to give honor to your parent. If you're obligated to honor your parents, so how much more so your rabbi? So Ovi mevi lecha elam azev, rabbi shalom dechochma mevi lecha elam abo, because your parents bring you into the physical world, while your rabbi brings you into the spiritual world. So therefore, from a kal v'chemer, you are obligated to honor your rabbi. In halacha beis in gimel, he brings. That if a person sets himself up a Beis HaMedrash, where there he expounds and he teaches and he gives hayroh, he gives legal judgment in the laws of the Torah, and his Rebbe is living, even though his Rebbe is in another place, this a person is not allowed to do. This a person is not allowed to do. And then he brings from, which we learn from our pasha, that whoever will be meire halacha, whoever will give instruction in the presence of his Rebbe, his chayv misa, is guilty of punishment, of a death penalty from heaven. Now it says as follows. This is if he does it on a permanent basis. What would happen if that between him and his Rebbe there's a long distance. And someone comes along and he asks him a shaila. So then Mutar Lahoshiv, he's allowed to answer. But this is only Bidova Shenikra Mikra. This is only in an incidental basis, not in a permanent fashion. Avalikfei Atzmei Leheiro, but to establish himself to give Heiro, to give judgment. Uleishiv Lahedis Lachol Sheil. And for anyone who will come and ask him, he will answer. Afilu he b'seifa hu b'seifa elam v'rabbi b'seifa elam osel leila heiris at shiyomis rabbi. Even if his rabbi is in one end of the world and he's in the other, he's not allowed to instruct. He's not allowed to give judgment unless on two conditions: at shiyomis rabbi, unless his rabbi dies. Or elim kei nota l'shus merabbi, or unless he gets permission from his rebbe. If a person gets permission from his rebbe, then he's allowed to. This is one of the reasons which is brought for the purpose of what was known as the smicha. In the days of the Sanhedrin, when we had the great court, so that no one could become a member of the Sanhedrin unless he was a somuch, unless he received what was known as a smicha from his Rebbe. And that would qualify him to judge all laws of the Torah. And that smicha was handed down, ish mipi ish, from Meshe to Yeshua. It's called the smicha because Meshe means to, Meshe rested his hands on Yeshua's shoulders and gave over to him authority. So smicha means to rest your hands. And this went from one great Rebbe to a Talmud, Rebbe to Talmud, Rebbe to Talmud. So firstly, this gave the person the authority to judge all in all factions of Torah. Secondly, it gave him permission from his Rebbe to judge. Because if he didn't have permission from his Rebbe to judge, he wouldn't be able to. He would be Meir HaHirob Yifnei Rabbah. He would be Paskin in Shailas in the presence of his Rebbe. Now if his Rebbe is present, then he's not allowed to at all to Paskin. He must get specific permission from his Rebbe. But even if his Rebbe would be in another place, if his Rebbe is far away, he could do it on an occasional basis. But on a permanent basis, he couldn't do it unless he had this permission. During the time of the Romans, when they killed off the last of the Talmidim, of the disciples of Rabbi Akiva, so then the smicha was destroyed. No longer was there anyone in Israel that had smicha. And therefore no one was qualified to judge in all factions of the Torah, all facets of the Torah. Today the smicha that we have is a different type of smicha altogether. It's not at all similar to the original smicha whatsoever. But the Peskim bring, the authorities bring, so what is the purpose of our smicha? One of the purposes of our smicha is it becomes the formal permission of the Rebbe granted to the Talmud that now he can be made a hero, he can instruct, he can give judgment, even though his Rebbe is still alive and on a permanent basis. So this is what's necessary. As long as a person's Rebbe is alive, and as long as he's never received a formal permission, so he's not allowed on a permanent basis to give judgment, even in another place, see, even at the other end of the world. Then the Rambam brings another halacha. Ulhafrish min Yisr afilu bifnei Rabbi mutar lahayris. If you see that someone is going to do something which is not allowed, for example, he's going to eat something which he's not allowed to eat, or he's going to do something which he's not allowed to do, and no one's stopping him, then you can tell him immediately, even though your Rebbe is present. Why? Because for someone to transact, do an aveda in the Torah, that's a chilul Hashem. See, that's a desecration to Hashem. But ein cholkin kovel l'rabbi b'mochem chilul Hashem. And where there's a chilul Hashem, a desecration to Hashem, then we don't give honor to our Rebbe. See? So therefore, even if the Rebbe is present, but the Rebbe is not saying anything for one reason or the other, and you know the person is doing wrong and you have to say something immediately to stop him, then you're allowed to. So that would be an occasion that you would be allowed to. So this is the basic halacha, that a person, a Talmid, is never allowed to give judgment in the presence of his Rebbe unless he received a specific authority. Now if he's in a different place and he received the authority, fine. If he's in the same place, he's still not allowed to, because the authority was only when he's in a different place. So therefore, by Nodav Avihu, that they paskin the halacha. So they render judgment in the place of Moshe Rabbeinu. This was a very serious offense, and it carries a capital punishment mishumai. And the reason for this offense is because this is a disgrace to the authority of the rabbi. And we see how great the Torah held the honor that a Talmid, a disciple, must give his Rebbe, to the point where if he will render judgment in his presence, this can bring a punishment, heaven forbid, of death from heaven, an immediate punishment, like we see from Nodav Avihu. Another point that's very important while we're on this halacha, that the Rambam brings immediately afterwards, in which he says that one should not think, though, that just because a person's Rebbe died, now he can render judgment. Not everyone whose Rebbe died, he's allowed to be leishiv leiris b'teira. He's allowed to give instruction in Torah. Elim kein hoya talmid shigi la hira. He must be a Talmud that reaches hira, that is to the degree where he's capable of giving judgment. See, the authorities bring also that today they ask, what is the purpose of Ar Smicha during the time of the Sanhedrin? So you needed it in order to give the person authority to be done, to judge in all facets of the Torah. But we don't have that authority today anyhow. So what is the purpose? If the person is a Gilaira, if the person is capable of judging, so then he should be able to do it without the Smicha. And if he's not capable of judging, so what does the Smicha help? Just because a person has Smicha, but if he's not capable, if he's not qualified of judging, so it won't help him? So the answer is, like we mentioned, that one of the basic reasons is it's an authority from his rabbi that he can judge, but this is only in specific areas and specific times where he might be qualified. So this is what the Rambam is warning us now. He says not every Talmud that his rebbe has died is capable of judging. He says kol Talmud shela yigil lahiro meira harizah rosh sheita v'gasaruach. A very important halacha. He says any disciple that is not qualified, now qualified means he's not sufficiently educated to render judgment, legal judgment, he's a rosha shaitan gasruach. He's a rosha, he's an evil person, because he's going to mislead people. He's a shaitan, he's a fool, because he's entering into an area which he has no business to. And gas ruach, and he's arrogant to undertake such a responsibility. Volov nema ki rabim chaloli mipilo. And in this, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, it's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah daf Chof Beis, rabim chaloli mipilo, that he is responsible for killing many people. Because someone who renders judgment and is not qualified misdirects the people. And just like a general who misdirects his army can be responsible for their physical deaths, so a disciple who misdirects his people will be responsible for their spiritual deaths. And the same thing to the converse, the Rambam says. So maybe a person will say, if that's the case, so what do I need it for? See? I will refrain from giving any judgment. You have people like that. that you'll come, someone will come and they'll ask a shaila and they'll say, look, it, I don't want to become involved because the responsibility is too great. I cannot take the responsibility to advise you, and I cannot take the responsibility to paskin to give such judgment. So, and then also there's a halacha. V'chein chochem shigi leirov ein amayra. If there is someone who's truly a chochem, he's a wise person, and he's capable of giving judgment. V'ein amayra. But he doesn't. Hareza menea teira. So he withholds teira from people. V'neisin mikshelis livnea ivrim. And he's placing obstacles in front of the people. V'olov nema rav tsumim kol heiregeh haregeho. And on him also it says that by withholding he causes death. Both are not good. If someone gives judgment and he's not capable, he causes deaths in Israel. And if someone who's capable of giving judgment and he withholds it, he says, I don't want to get involved and the responsibility is too much, he also causes deaths in Israel because he withholds his Torah from Israel. Elu, then the Rambam tells us that we must be very, very careful to see that Talmidim shlehigi leiro, that there should not be disciples in Israel that are not qualified and start to become involved in giving judgment. He says this we must be very careful. He says Elu Talmidim aktanim shlehirbu teira keroi, these small disciples that did not study Torah properly. And they want to become great in the eyes of the ignorant, and they want to become great in the eyes of the people of their city. And they jump forward, and they spring forward, and they want to sit at the front, in order to give judgment, in order to direct Israel. These are the people that bring machlekes, they bring dissension to Israel. And they destroy the world. And they extinguish the light of Torah. And they destroy the vineyard of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what Shlema HaMelech said in his wisdom. Achazulonu shualim shualim tamim. That there are small foxes that came in and they are eating away at the vineyard. So Shlema HaMelech, King Solomon, was referring to the small disciples who were small in wisdom, who are consuming the vineyard of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by instructing people, see, by teaching people and by instructing people and by rendering judgment. They are consuming the vineyard of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So these are some very important halachos that we should know when it comes to this halacha of Meirei Rabbi Fnei Rabbi. That firstly, this has to do with giving honor to one's rabbi. And giving honor to one's rabbi, we see that the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu were very stringent on it. Very stringent. The Rambam writes in another place that there is no covet that we are obligated to give any person like Fnei Rabbi. And Lechor v'Yushalayim, the destruction of Yushalayim came about because of Bizui Talmidei Chachamim, because of disgrace to Talmidei Chachamim. So certainly to one's rabbi. So therefore, and it carries with it a very great punishment, and an immediate punishment, like we see from our parsha. Secondly, we learn a few of the dinim in regards to this halacha. And thirdly, that a person must never render legal judgment until he's received proper permission from his rabbi, as long as his rabbi is alive. But thirdly, then, the Rambam writes that even if a person's rabbi dies, that doesn't mean that he's qualified. Right. The only way he's qualified is when he's truly qualified. This means that he's capable. He's great enough in Torah and wisdom to be capable of directing the nation. If he is, then it's the greatest mitzvah. If he's not, it becomes a churban. It becomes a destruction to Klal Yisrael. If he is and he refuses to because he does not want to become involved in such responsibility, this also is a churban. This brings destruction. Because he's menea teira min harabim. He's withholding Torah, which is life, from the people. So this is in regards to Meirei Hiro. Let's just learn a few halachas in regards to the other avera of shtuyei yayin. In Hilchos Bias Mikdash, Perek Aleph, the Rambam brings, Kol Kein HaKosher LaAvedo, a Kohen, a priest who's kosher for Avedo, Mshosei Yain, Oselei Likonis Min HaMizbeach Lefnim. If he drinks wine, he's not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash from the area of the altar inward. Bimnichnas V'Ovad, if he goes in and he serves, Avedos Psula. Firstly, the Aved is psula, the Aved is rejected. It's not a qualified service. It has to be done over again. V'chai misa b'dei shemayim. And it's punishable by death from heaven. Shneema v'lei samusu. As it states in our parsha, you should not do it v'lei samusu and bring death to yourself. Now what does it mean, a person who is drank wine or who is drunk? V'hu shesoso revis yain chai b'bas achas. That someone who drinks a revis yain, revis is a revis alog. There was a measurement in the Torah which is called a log. On one side of his mouth is the rev revis, is the majority of a revis. Okay. So therefore, a revis, a quarter of the log, which we're speaking about, would be less than a complete mouthful. See, if the amount of liquid a person can hold on one side of his mouth is the majority of the revis, so then that what he could hold in both sides of his mouth will be more than a revis. So we're not speaking about a lot. It's not a great quantity. But it must be that a person drinks this amount, chai. Now we're speaking about yain chai. Yain chai means undiluted wine. Bibas achas, if he drinks it at one time, not where he drinks it slowly. Miyain shovr alov mem yaim, from wine that is at least 40 days old. Avol im shos apochas merevis yain, but if he drinks less than a revis wine, or shos revis vihifsik bo, or he drinks this amount, but he stops while he's drinking. Or mizuga b'mayim, or mozga b'mayim, or he mixed it with water, or shesosu yain magese, which is b'seif mem, or if he drinks wine which is less than 40 days old, afilo yesem revis potter, then even if it's more than that amount, he would not be considered a shtuyei yain, someone who has drunk wine, and therefore he would not be punishable by the punishment, and the avoda would be good. So it must be enough that's going to cause intoxication. Their wine was very strong. And if it's undiluted wine, so that small amount of wine was capable of doing this. Then, if he drinks, the Rambam holds, if he drinks more than a revis, even though it's not an undiluted wine, or even though he drinks it slowly, but still then that's capable of intoxicating one. So therefore, then he would be punishable again. Now this whole halacha, this entire halacha is basically by wine. This in the Torah, it says, yain v'sheicher al teish, that he should not drink yain v'sheicher. So the Gemara Darshan's yain amishtakrin. It should not be wine which causes intoxication. So this is referring to wine, but a wine which can intoxicate. This is not referring basically to other drinks. Now the Rambam brings, what happens if a kain is a shikor, but not from wine, from other intoxicating drinks? Wine is from the vine, from the grapes. Ho yashikor mishar mashkin ha-meshakrim, osu likonis l'migdush, v'im nichnas v'ovar hu shikor mishar mashkin ha-meshakrim, afilo min ha-chola v'min ha-dveila harei ze leike v'avedis ha-ksheira, shein chayavim yisal al-yayin v'shas ha-veida v'im ha-chal ha-veida l'shikor min ha-yayin. There's a difference. See? If he's intoxicated from other drinks, then he's not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash. But if he serves in the Beis HaMikdash, first of all, the Aved is Ksheira. The service is good. Secondly, it's not punishable by death. There is a azora. See, he would be. It's punishable. Hariza leker. It's brought. The Rambam brings there would be a din malchus. There would be a corporal punishment on it, but it would not be punishable by death. And the avoda would be kseder. The avoda would be good. See, he brings. So we see that there's a basic difference between wine and other drinks. That even though it would seem that the sum total is the same, that under both circumstances he would be just as intoxicated, but we see for some reason, which the Torah doesn't tell us, that the Torah basically was against the drinking of wine when one went into the Beis Hamikdash. If he's intoxicated from wine, then you have the full force of the halacha. If he's intoxicated from another drink, then you do not have the full force of the halacha. There's another halacha which is brought here, which is also learned from our parsha. That since in our parsha where it states to Yai that a person shouldn't drink and go into the Mikdush, so it also states Ulahiris is Bnei Yisrael, to instruct Bnei Yisrael. So the Gemara learns from here that we learn that just like a person is not allowed to drink when he goes into the Beis Hamikdash, a person also is not allowed to drink Lahiris when he's instructing Yisrael. So from here we learn, just like a kohen is not allowed to go into the Beis Hamikdash when he's shikr, kach osel lechol odom. So therefore, the same, every man, whether he's a kohen or not, is not allowed to be mahirish. He's not allowed to render legal judgment keshehu shosri, when he's drunk wine. Now here, there is no difference what he became intoxicated from. Afilo ochal tamorim. Even if he ate, the Gemara brings that if you eat a lot of dates, it can bring an intoxicated effect upon a person. I don't know if this is true with our dates today, but this is what the Gemara brings. The Gemara brings afilo shos acholav. I don't know what kind of milk it's speaking about. There is a possibility even through milk. See, but there are various other drinks. Or certainly, if it's other shar maskinam shtakrim, see, other intoxicating beverages. Once a person is drunk, anything that's intoxicating, and nishtapsha daito me'at, and his mind now is not exactly the way it should be, al yera, he's not allowed to render legal judgment. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, laheiris b'nei Yisrael. This is shmeitzer boid slusa. To give legal judgment, you need a perfect mind, and any intoxication affects it. Affects the person's intellectual vision, so therefore he's not allowed to. Im heire bedovishu befurish beteira achi do at stake im muter, but he is allowed to render judgment on something which is explicit in the Torah. For example, if someone will ask him, is a lizard, a certain type of lizard that might be mentioned in the Torah, is that impure? Since that's explicit in the Torah, you can tell him that he's allowed to see. Or a frog, is that pure? That's explicit in the Torah, because that's not listed amongst those which are impure. That you're allowed to. Or if he asks you, is blood, are you allowed to eat blood? You're allowed to tell him, no, you're not allowed to, because that's explicit. But to render judgment in something, because that's not considered a hayro, but to render judgment in something which is not explicit in the Torah, this you're not allowed to. If you have drunk wine or any intoxicating beverage and your mind is not exact. But he's allowed to teach Torah. See? To teach Torah you're allowed. But to give judgment you're not allowed to. See? So if a person had a drink, he can still teach Torah. It's not advisable. See? It's not advisable, but he's allowed to. But he's not allowed to be yeri, he's not allowed to give legal judgment. But what happens if he's a chocham kavua lahiro? That means that he's a dayan, he's a pesik. He's a person who, his basic occupation is rendering legal judgment. That means that people come to him all the time to ask him shailas, and they phone him up, and so forth. Then he's not allowed to teach Torah either when he's intoxicated. Why? Because his teaching of Torah is Eirohi. His teaching of Torah is legal judgment. Since he's a person who always is giving legal judgment, so what he teaches, people will say, this is what so-and-so said, and they will take this as a psak halacha, as a legal decision. Okay. So therefore, he is not allowed to teach even when he's a bit intoxicated. From here we learn that when it comes to Torah, you have to have a clear mind. You want to learn Torah, you want to teach, you want to render judgment, you need a clear mind. From here also we learn that, like we mentioned in the beginning, wine is not something that the Torah looks down upon. You have many gracious sects, the nations of the world, that abstain from wine because they looked at wine as totally evil, and therefore they completely abstained. And this was the concept of Nozir, Nazirite. The Torah doesn't have this approach at all. Yain is from the greatest brachos. Yain yisamach levav enish. That David HaMelech said that wine rejoices a person's heart. The Gemara says that wine can overcome pachad. If a person has fears, he has worries, wine can overcome it. And we mentioned not long ago in a shir on Shabbos that the wine, the product of the grape, was so important by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes and the Torah's eyes that it's kevei brocha bifnei atzmai. That you make a special broch on it. When you drink beverages in the middle of a meal, you don't make a broch on it. If you drink wine in the middle of a meal, you make a broch on it because of its chashivas, because of its great value. And with keveya mitzvahs ala yain, when we do a mitzvah, a very important mitzvah, and we want to give it extra honor, we do it over a cup of wine. Like under the chuppah, kiddushin, a person marries a woman. So we make the broch over the wine, even though the wine has nothing to do with it. Or a bris milah. When there's a bris milah, we make the broch over the wine, even though the wine has nothing to do with it. Or Shabbos, we make kiddush. Basically, the kiddush can be done without the wine. But we do it over the wine in order to give more honor to the broch. And on Shabbos is a mitzvah to drink wine. On Yom Tov is a greater mitzvah to drink wine. On Pesach is a mitzvah to drink 4 cups of wine. Evidently, on Pesach, you see the Chazal, the Chachomim, held that this avoda, the service of the Pesach Seder, must be done under the influence of wine and its intoxicating powers. Because there you're obligated to drink 4 cups of wine. And each cup must be machzik revis, each cup must be a revis, must be the measure that we mentioned. And you must drink the majority of each cup. And on Purim, the Gemara says even further, that a person should become intoxicated. So it's not that we reject wine. It's just there's a proper time and proper place for everything. When it comes to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash, this was a time when a person must come to a high spiritual height. And it was the Beis HaMikdash was contrary to the effects of intoxication. When it comes to rendering halacha, this is the opposite of intoxication. You need sharp shmeitzer bo yitzlusa. You need a very sharp, decisive mind. So it's just that there was a time and place, a proper time and a proper place. And therefore the Torah taught us these halachos. One final point. And that is, Moshe told Aaron, "Hu asher diber Hashem lemor." This is what Hashem said: "Bikreiva yakodesh v'alpnei kol ha'am ekoved, v'yidem Aaron, that I shall sanctify myself through my close ones, and over the entire nation I shall gain honor." And Aaron was silent. So Rashi tells us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'nikdash b'chveidi, al tikra b'chveidi ele b'mechubodai, that I shall sanctify myself through those who are the most honored ones. Omer Meisha l'Aaron, Meisha said to Aaron, Aaron ochi, yedeya hoyisi shizkadish habayis b'myuduav. I knew that the Beis HaMikdash would be sanctified through those who are very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'myuduav shel mokom, v'yisi sover ebi eboch. And I thought it would either be me or you. Now I see that they were greater than myself and you. And then Rashi brings, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does judgment with his righteous, he becomes great and fearful through this. People say, if this is how it happens with the righteous, so how much more so with the evil, with the Rishoyim? And this is what David HaMelech said, Neir Elokim Mikdoshayich, Al Tikun Mikdoshayich, Al Mikdoshecho. Neir Elokim Mikdoshecho, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes fearful through those who are sanctified by him. Now what does all this mean? Here we see a tremendous tragedy takes place. Aaron's two sons are killed, not above you. And Meisha tells him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctifies himself with those who are closest to him. I thought it would be me or you. Now I see they were greater than us. B'mechubodai. And Neira Hashem. Neira Lekim Mikdoshecho. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes fearful through those who he sanctifies himself from. Vayidem Aaron, and Aaron was silent. And then the Rashi brings later that Aaron received reward for being shosak, that he was silent. He received a great reward. That later on, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to teach Torah to the whole world, he spoke only to Aaron. Taught the Torah to Aaron, and Aaron had to tell the rest of the world. This was his reward. Now what does this all mean? I mean, here we see a great tragedy takes place, and Meisha tells Aaron that this was a great schus, this was a wonderful thing. Now this is not an easy concept to understand. And this is a concept which constantly troubles people when they see punishment and tragedy that comes to anyone, and certainly when it comes to the righteous. People say, well, why did it happen to him? Of all people, it should have happened to him. See? This is not an easy concept. We've devoted shurim to this in the past. We'll just give a very concise, perhaps window opening into the subject, where we'll be able to understand a bit of it. And that is, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to sanctify himself, and he wants to bring fear of himself upon the world, and he does this through Mises Sadikim, he does this through bringing death to his righteous, doesn't mean, heaven forbid, that he brings death to the righteous for no justified reason whatsoever. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't bring death or punishment to anyone without any justified reason. But the Gemara tells us that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is done im tzadikov kechut asaro. Kodesh Baruch Hu judges his tzadikim kechut asaro, the thickness of a hair, to the ultimate degree. We see this by Meisha Rabbeinu. Meisha Rabbeinu, when it came to striking when it came that he was supposed to speak to the rock, and he struck the rock, and there's all kinds of opinions there as to what the Avera was. The Avera was so subtle that there's all kinds of opinions amongst the rabbis as to what the Avera was. And this also we've gone into at length in the past. But there's no explicit Avera that Moshe did. Right? Some say that he should have spoke to the rock instead of striking the rock, or he became angry, or whatever it might have been. But it was such a subtle Avera that is not even clear to us as to what the Avera was. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Moshe Rabbeinu and he said, Yan, lehamantim bi, because you did not believe in me. And therefore he did not permit Moshe Rabbeinu to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now, Yan asher lehamantim bi, you didn't believe in me. I mean, this is something that you say to an apekeres, to a kefer, to someone who doesn't believe. And there was no one that believed like Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself testified that Avdi Nemon Bechol Beisi, I have no greater loyal servant than Moshe Rabbeinu. There was no one that believed. Moshe was the one who asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me see your image, let me see your presence. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I cannot show you my face, but I can show you from the back of me. In other words, nobody came to that level. There was no prophet. So what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to Moshe Rabbeinu and saying, Lana, Yan Asher, Yan Le'amantim Bi, that you didn't believe in me? So the answer is, there are literally thousands upon thousands, if not millions of levels in believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And one person might not believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he could be at the bottom of all of these thousands and thousands of levels. Moshe Rabbeinu, there was a small area, see, a small shady area, that at that moment Moshe did not see with the greatest of clarity that he should have HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he did, he wouldn't have executed that Avera. And that's what is meant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is donim atzadikov kechut asaro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges his tzadikim with the breath of a hair. And why is this? Because just like, for example, we'll take a situation of an army. An army, you have your foot soldiers. Your foot soldier goes out and gets drunk. All right. So they give him a punishment. Well, what did he do? He didn't do anything. So he went out and got drunk. So he took the weekend off. So they give him a punishment. What happens if the general goes out and gets drunk? Well, it's a tragedy. Not only if he goes out and gets drunk, if the general, if the commander-in-chief, if the prime minister does one thing which is considered not in good taste, not with proper discretion, not with protocol, or one thing that's out of line, these are grounds for dismissal. Why? Because the foot soldier, what kind of responsibility does he carry? He carries responsibility for himself. But a general, a commander-in-chief, a prime minister, a president, he carries responsibility for a million people under him. One small error can bring tragedy to a whole nation. And therefore, we demand from him a conduct that's impeccable. And he's capable of that. If he's not capable, he would never have risen to such a position. So we're not demanding beyond his capabilities. He's capable. And we demand and we expect it. And if it's not given forth, it can cause tremendous tragedy. And therefore we judge with him accordingly. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He judges with his tzaddikim kechut asayra. The Gemara in Baba Basra in Ksuba says that the great Talmidei Chachomim HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds them responsible for what's happening in the generation. If something is wrong in the generation, he holds them responsible. Why? What do they have to do with it? Because they are they are so great that they can have an influence on the generation. They can influence an entire generation. They can direct an entire generation. And many times it's perhaps a shortcoming in them that you find a generation that is not up to par. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bring a punishment on anyone if it's not justified. The only thing is, many times perhaps he'll be Erech HaPayim. He will withhold. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he brings the punishment to the world though, and especially to the Tzaddikim, he does it for a purpose. He does it for the purpose to bring the world closer to him. Why? Because when you see this, then you see there's a deen, you see there's a judgment in the world. If you see there's a judgment in the world, then you see there's a judge in the world. When we do not see judgment, then we start to think there's no judge in the world. And the world is free, and it's without order, it's without responsibility, anyone can get away with anything. And this is the epic, this is the contrary to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's order and control of the world. And then you see all of the Rishoyim, the evil person, they do this and that, and nothing happens to them. There's no control, there's no supervision over the world. People start to think. There's many people that think that way. You can do what you want. This is a world just to do for yourself. The more you do for yourself, the better off you'll be. When we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is seemingly so harsh with his Tzaddikim, so then we start saying, if this is how he is with his Tzaddikim, so then how much more so is he with his Rishoyim? If he will extract such judgment from his righteous, so then how much more so will he extract such judgment from those who are far from him? So Neira Hashem im Kedoshecho, the fear of Hashem comes to the world when he brings judgment upon those who are close to him. When he decides to judge, when we see how he dealt with Moshe Rabbeinu, then we can understand how he will deal with other people. And then we see the judgment in the world. And then through this, the world is nis'ale, the world is uplifted closer to him. They see his control. That's why Moshe said to Aaron that I knew that from the building of the Mishkan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would show his judgment to the world. And I thought maybe it would be with me or you. But from the fact that it was with your sons, he extracted from them kechut ha-saroi, like the breath of a hair. And he chose them to reveal his judgment to the world. And people will say that, what did they do? And if this happened to them, imagine then how responsible we're going to be held for everything in the world. So from here we see that it's a proof that they were greater than us. And this is what the Gemara tells us in general, that we must learn whenever anything happens in the world, we must learn from it. If it's good, we must make a brocha and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If heaven forbid it's bad, we must also relate it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and make a brocha. It's an instruction. It's bringing us closer to him. A simple example of this is the Gemara at the end of Masechta Makos. When the Tanoim, the rabbis of the Mishnah, were visiting the Beis HaMikdash when it was in ruins from the Romans, they came upon foxes running out of the ruins. So they rent their clothing and they started to weep. And they said, here the great Beis HaMikdash, the great temple of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shualim, foxes are running around. And the Rebbe Kiva started to laugh with joy. So they looked at him, well, what's the matter with you, Akiva ben Yosef? Something wrong with you? Here we see the Beis HaMikdash laying in ruins and the foxes running around. Why are you laughing? So he said, because we have two prophecies in the Torah. One prophecy tells us how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and how glorious it will be. Another prophecy tells us that before then it will lay in ruins and foxes will run around. He said that I had no visual proof on the second prophecy. Now I have a visual proof of the second prophecy. Now I see the first prophecy is true, so the second prophecy is also true. What did he mean? If we don't see any judgment in the world whatsoever, so then it can give one the belief that there's no master over the world. If there's no master over the world, so just like there's no punishment, there's no reward. But when we see judgment in the world, this is a testimony to us that if there's judgment, there's a master. If there's a master, there's reward. And therefore there's place for joy. This is what Rabbi Akiva answered. So they turned to Rabbi Akiva and they said, Akiva, Akiva, nichamtoni. You have brought comfort to us. These are some of the principles that we can learn from this parsha. And may we be zecha to see not the judgment of Yesudim, the judgment of punishment come to the world, but may we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great judgment, his judgment of the Rishoyim, not the judgment of the Tzaddikim, the judgment of the Rishoyim, and may we live to see the reward which is due to all of his righteous people.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.